My name is Angela Jackson, and I'm going to read an excerpt from my new novel, Take Two. Edinburgh turned out to be the kind of place where you could stand on a street corner and see dramatic Georgian architecture and the sea to your left and a castle to your right, where you could hear academics discussing their latest work as they walked through lush gardens, where you could get a cup of coffee at midnight and then pay a fiver to listen to world-class jazz musicians playing 3 feet away from your table till 4 a.m. June was a month of anticipation. Festival programmes were launched at the start of the month and pounced upon by shop workers and bankers and braced-up teenagers and middle-aged couples who'd made it through another year. Students flicked through hundreds of pages and mentally prepared for that phone call to mummy or mother or mam, in which they would postpone going home for the holidays so they could rub shoulders with or at least spot their favourite comedian in the Pleasance courtyard. Bibliophiles marked with red Sharpies the date on their kitchen calendars when they would queue in the rain along George Street and eventually snake into Waterstones for their tickets for their annual fix of Simon Armitage and Ian Rankin. And come August, when residents would be unable to find a seat in their favourite haunts, Twitter would sing with the music of little birds telling other little birds what they had seen. But for now, the soft rain of June kept the city cool. Judy sat on the sofa and watched Jules from behind a copy of 3 Weeks. She looked like one of those women who was able to wear charity shop clothing without resorting to calling it vintage. As Jules squatted to find the right socket for her iPod lead, her purple dress hitched up to reveal a ladder in her emerald tights that Judy felt sure she wouldn't give a jot about. Her ginger hair was wound into an off-centre bun, held in place by what looked like a Royal Mail red elastic band. Judy felt like a faded photo next to her, in her cream shirt, dress and bare legs. There wasn't enough food for three, as it turned out. Harriet had made a valiant attempt to spread the risotto out to cover the bases of three mismatched bowls. All three women ate the risotto as slowly as supermodels, scooping up little mounds of rice and masticating for all they were worth. Once they'd finished, Judy gathered up the empty dishes and offered to bring in the apple pie. "Is there cream or custard or anything to go with it?" asked Judy. No, just the pie," replied Harriet, as though pie sometimes came out of the oven covered in custard. Judy divided the pie equally, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock and midnight. She'd once waitressed when she was a student and so tested her left inner forearm to see if it still had the ability to carry a line of desserts along it. She still had it. Carefully balancing the plates of pie, she slowly edged into the living room. Ta-da! And she froze on the last note as 100 thoughts flew around her head. Okay, don't look shocked. Be cool. Be cool. It's okay. You've seen women kissing before. Well, okay, you haven't seen women kissing before, but it's only kissing. Although obviously it's more than that. And it's cool. It's fine. You just walked in on something that is absolutely fine. Harriet is gay. Don't be stupid. Harriet has a boyfriend. He lives in Manchester. He's a man. Harriet's not gay. Jules is gay. That's why she's kissing Harriet. Harriet is not gay. She's just being kissed by a gay woman. It's cool. It's fine. People kiss. God, how can we all sit and eat this pie now? Oh, God, we can't because I've dropped the pie. I have dropped the pie. There it is, all over the floor, all over my shoes and their shoes and those emerald green tights with the ladder. And now the cat's eating the pie. Who knew that cats ate pastry? And the lesbian woman, Jules, her name is Jules. Jules is on all fours and we're laughing. We're all laughing. But I'm not sure we're all laughing at the same thing.